Greetings and happy reading. You're listening to FDP Reads, and we're talking this time about something new and something interesting and something maybe a little dark and a little sad and a little awkward. But we are doing this especially for Buy Me a Coffee. You can find FDP Reads on the Buy Me a Coffee platform. If you go to buymeacoffee.com/FDP Reads, and we will probably make the beginning of this available in some of our other areas where we post, but the entire audio will be available only through Buy Me a Coffee. So, what are we talking about? I mean, did we make this sound spooky or what? It's not even October. What are we talking about? We wanted to do something different and interesting, and something that we would just be able to just gush about without even thinking. So we're making a confession. We, and for the sake of this discussion, I'll probably keep saying we, but I mean me. I mean personally me. I'm making a confession. And I wanted to tell you first. I am a terrible writer. I am a terrible writer. And I want to confess that because I don't care. I am a terrible writer and I don't care. You know, saying something like I'm a terrible writer, I mean, you know, it's a lot better than saying like I'm a terrible person, you know, but saying something like I'm a terrible writer just, it just, you know, has an entire ick factor to it because, you know, it's like saying I'm a failure or something like that. No one wants to say that ever, even if it's obvious. Even if everybody knows it, nobody wants to say I'm a failure. Nobody wants to say I'm a terrible writer. But I just confessed that I am. And I also told you, frankly, that I don't care. And that's an important thing to do. Because there are so many of us who write and who want to write, who are seriously hindered by fears of failure and fears of not measuring up and all of these different things. And I'm saying I'm a terrible writer and I don't care because it doesn't matter. I mean, it literally doesn't matter. Now, I want to say, people who want to make their entire living off of writing, off of their writing, selling books, selling plays, selling screenplays, selling web content, whatever it is, those people are absolutely going to feel a pressure to be a good writer, a great writer, the best writer. They're going to feel a pressure for that. But I mean, has anybody stopped to think about how many bad writers there are out there who are making money? They are making good money. They're making plenty of money. They're selling books. They're selling movies. They're doing the whole thing and they're not good writers. So why in the world should any of us feel like we can't admit at least to ourselves, hey, I'm not that good of a writer? Because, you know, we all have to start from somewhere. We all have to start from somewhere. But here's the funny part, and this is what we want to discuss a little bit more. The truly funny part about it is that most people who feel they are terrible writers or fear they are that they are terrible writers aren't. You really aren't. And I'll say that I'm hugely generalizing. Notice I didn't call the names of any writers out there because a lot of this stuff is subjective. A lot of it is subjective. You know, one person will think so-and-so is the best writer in the world. And somebody else will think, ugh, you know, give me a break. It's subjective, but the vast majority of people who feel they are terrible writers or fear that they are terrible writers are not terrible writers. May not be the best writers out there, may not be great, may not be good, but aren't terrible. It's the fear. You know, it's simply a fear. It's simply a concern. It's simply a question about whether I might be terrible. But the truth is that most people aren't. They're not. Now, here's the example that I want to point out. Most people are not terrible writers. There's probably a small percentage of people who really, I mean, like, really, objectively, they're terrible. Any person who reads what they write are going to say this person is a terrible writer, okay? There's probably, I would argue, it's my opinion, you know, those who do not agree, feel free to email your comments to me at fdpreads@mail.com. I don't mind people with different opinions, so definitely email me if you would like to correct me about anything that I'm saying. I think that a small percentage of people are objectively bad. Not, I prefer this or I prefer that, but no, this person's bad. I don't even know what they're talking about. And those people probably have no concern about it at all. Now, here's the example that I want to give. Most of us have seen an episode of American Idol. I think that's true. Many of us have seen an episode of American Idol where there is someone who comes into audition who is terrible, objectively terrible. 9 out of 10, if not 10 out of 10, if they're all hearing people, will say that person was terrible. But that individual, male or female, whoever it is, doesn't feel that they're terrible. Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I wonder if those are actors. Honestly, I sit there and go, is this, you know, did they just pay somebody to come in here and do this? Because, you know, you sometimes there are these people and you just think, or I think, there's no way. But is it, let's say that they're all legitimate auditioners. And so then I have to wonder, is it that they can't really hear themselves? They just don't know? Or is it that they just think, yeah, I don't sound like those people, but I have my own thing going? I don't know, but I'll tell you something. Whether it's dance, whether it's music, whether it's fashion, whatever it is, you name it, there's something you have to, I have to, on some level, admire, or maybe admire is not the right word, but that these people are so terrible, they're not concerned, they're not embarrassed, they don't feel bad, none of that. What's ironic about it is that you will have a situation with actually good singers, maybe even great singers, who don't have the confidence to go and audition in a situation like that. Whereas this person that 9 out of 10 people would say was terrible had the confidence to go in there and audition. Is it because they're delusional? I don't know. Is it because they just don't care? Is it because their feeling is, you know, I think that I can sing, and if you don't agree, then you don't have to agree. There's something admirable about that. Now, there are some people who will say, yeah, but you know, you need to get a grip with reality and move on. Maybe. That's very possible. But you know, if an individual enjoys doing something and they're able to make it work, I don't have any complaint. So it's an interesting thing that there are these people, if we assume that they are legitimate contestants, who, you know, they're just shockingly bad by most people's standards. They, you know, these individuals are outside the typical standard for what is enjoyable. Okay. And they don't let it stop them. They don't let it get in their way. They don't feel bad afterward. They don't feel like I can't go on with my life. But we've all seen the situation where you have a good singer that comes in. Who knows what happens? You know, the judges tell them, sorry, no. And these people are just broken. They're just broken. They're miserable. They don't have the attitude, well, I tried that. I'll go try something else. You know, I'm going to stick with this, or I'm not going to stick with this. I'm going to try something else. They're broken. I mean, you know, that's what we see on television. My hope is that, you know, 5 minutes later, they are fine. But surely in some cases that doesn't happen. And the irony is that the good people, I mean, I don't mean to say the good people, but the people who are talented in this particular area should be pushing harder, perhaps, to get even better. And many of these talented people are not doing anything at all because the stakes, perhaps the stakes are higher for them. Perhaps they know that they're skilled, but they don't want to deal with the rejection. Because what is the rejection going to do? Or what is it going to do to me if I have to face that maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was? Well, I have one solution for that, or at least I have a suggestion for that, which is just admit that you're terrible and move on. Hey, I'm terrible. I'm terrible, and I'm not going to let that stop me. You know, I don't suggest that people lie to themselves. So, you know, someone who is objectively good, you know, it's not just me feeling I'm good, but, you know, 7 out of 10 people will say, yeah, this is good. I say 7 out of 10 people because most people don't agree that much on anything. And when you're talking about writing and artistic things, especially, it's not objective. It's never going to be objective. But when you have a good number of people who say, yeah, you know, this is good. I don't recommend that people say things that are not true. Like, don't tell yourself you're terrible when objectively you're not terrible. I'm not suggesting that. What I'm really recommending is don't even worry about it. Don't put all your time and energy into, am I good? Am I great? Am I terrible? Am I this or that? Because it's just going to get in the way. I'm personally okay with confessing that I'm a terrible writer. And so what? I see the number of books that come out every year, and it's like a ridiculous number. Fiction, nonfiction, everything. There's a ridiculous number. And it just stands to reason that not everybody putting these things out could be a good writer. It just, you know, it's just, it doesn't. But for so many, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. I won't call any names because it's not even my opinion, but I have heard people discuss some certain best-selling authors. And they say, oh, you know, their writing isn't good, but, and that, you know, and there's that but. Well, you know, you still read the books. So why? You know, why did you read the books? Because it wasn't really about whether this person was a great writer or not. And then there are other people, I can think of some poet laureates. I've seen interviews with some of these people. And, maybe Pulitzer Prize winning writers. Nobody's read their book. And I don't mean literally nobody. They're not best-selling authors. In some cases they may be, but in other cases people don't even know who they are. There's some small group of people who say, this is a great writer, and nobody else knows who they are. So you have a something of a continuum, and the issue is not so much where you fall on that continuum as, what your writing is doing for people. And I think maybe that's why some writers that I've heard people say, "Oh, I read that book, it was terrible." No, let me back up. What I heard a person say, I remember very well, the person said, "I read that book, the writing is terrible." But they read the book. And of course, this particular book they read because there was a lot of buzz about it and all that. But interestingly, there was all this buzz, but the buzz was not about how terrible the writing was, because there was something in the content that interested people. They wanted to know more about it. They didn't care that the writing was bad. They wanted to, once they got into it, I guess they wanted to know what happened. And that's what a story is all about. That's what a story is all about. You hear the beginning of it, either you're interested or you're not. If you're interested, you want to find out where it goes. If you're not interested, then you may move on to something else. So for this first episode, I guess I can say, I want to start out by confessing that I am a terrible writer, and I don't know if somebody listening might feel that they're a terrible writer too. But here's the other benefit of just saying, you know what? I'm not that good at this. I'm just not that good at this. The benefit of that is just get better. Spend your time working on getting better. Don't spend your time thinking about how you're not that good at it. Get better. Keep writing. Keep doing more, keep trying more. We want to focus as much as we can, when I'm not rambling, on ways to really move past a lot of the things that get in the way for writers. And admitting, I'm a terrible writer. It's like a weight off of the shoulders. It's like, I'm not trying to pretend at all. I'm sorry. We hear people talk about the imposter syndrome. And I haven't heard anyone mention that too much lately, but it always comes up. I mean, it always, and moving toward the holidays, we'll probably start hearing more about the imposter syndrome, because it seems like the holidays is the time of year for imposters. Everybody trying to pretend like something is going on that really isn't going on. It's just a huge relief to just be like, you know what? This isn't me. I don't do this. I know it might look like, I'm trying to be a great writer, but I'm not trying to be a great writer. I'm trying to just enjoy what I do. That's all. It may look like I'm trying to be fill in the blank, but that's not what I'm trying to do at all. I'm trying to do something meaningful, of value to myself and hopefully to other people. But as for, putting on these airs, someone listening to this hopefully has seen the BBC, or I guess it's a BBC show, I don't know, called Keeping Up Appearances. Everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people will have seen at some point an old, extra old rerun of Keeping Up Appearances. And what is the character's name who is always putting on airs? Hyacinth. I think her name is Hyacinth, if that's even her real name, because she's probably changed her name to something that sounds, you know, frou-frou. And I don't think Hyacinth sounds frou-frou, but she seems like she would have changed her name, to be honest. She's always wanting to seem like she's something she's not. She's very classy. She's more upper class than she is. You know, there's this strange episode that I halfway remember where something happened to her and she was outside of a bar. I don't even remember what happened. But, you know, and that's really Hyacinth's whole life. That's where Hyacinth gets her enjoyment out of pulling off this image that she wants people to have of her. The trouble with the show is that it seems like everybody on the show realizes that's not who she really is. And of course, a lot of the humor ends up coming from her doing all of these things. It's kind of like an I Love Lucy type of thing with an older woman who doesn't want to be a celebrity. She wants to be, I guess she wants to be posh or something. And you know, that's where most of the humor comes from in the show. And I mean, it would be interesting if there were an episode, maybe there is, where Hyacinth one day is like, you know, this is so much work. I just, you know, I'm not that, you know, I grew up in this poor working class family, just like my siblings, who I pretend that I'm not related to. I don't have the energy for this right now. And it's a real relief to just be able to say, yes, I want to do well. I'm working toward doing well, but I'm not there and I'm not pretending to be there. So instead of, you know, so by admitting, hey, I'm not that great at this, you have the opportunity to put the focus where it really should be, which is I want to spend my time, I want to spend my energy improving. I want to spend my energy enjoying this and not feeling bad about myself, not feeling like I don't measure up to what anybody else is doing. And this is a tough time for that because with all of the various opportunities that are available to people, we can see more and more of, you know, this first-time writer published whatever book has sold millions of copies, or you can see all of these different things that independent writers and publishers are doing. And there can be a pressure to do more and to do better. And all we want to encourage people to do is just be honest. Be honest with yourself. Don't put pressure on yourself to be more than you are. Just maybe apply some light pressure toward getting better, if that's what you want to do. That's it for this episode, I guess, of Terrible Writer Talks. We hope that you will check us out for our next episode when we'll be talking about something that we hope will be encouraging and inspiring, perhaps for other people who may not be terrible writers, but are willing to openly admit that I'm not there yet, and that's okay. Once again, you can email us if you would like to send us comments or questions or anything. We are at fdpreads@mail.com. That's fdpreads@mail.com. You can also visit our news site, which is REN as in read engrossing novels, TRY as in try, .co/ FDP News. And if you're on Pinterest, you can check out some of the visuals and things that we make available through Pinterest. And in the meantime, happy reading.